Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 714, Machinima in Halo, recorded live on December 7th, 2019. Welcome to Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am Duststorm, and I am host solo today. GT is not here because it is Saturday. It is not our normal recording day, but that is because I have some Machinima panelists from Outpost rejoining me for this episode, and we're going to kind of do a little bit of a retelling of some of the panel stuff that we did. And get to talk a little bit about things that we didn't get to do from the panel format. So I'm going to go ahead and start down the row with going in order from appearance, actually from some of the panels in order. So first we have Andrew Beam or Beaminator.
Hello.
Hello. Tell us a little bit about who you are, how you got involved with Machinima, and what Machinima or channels that you own and operate.
Okay, first off, hi, I'm Andrew. It was actually my football coach who gave me that nickname, Beaminator, because I always used to love wearing leather jackets in high school. And I actually got started with Halo pretty much the same way I got started with Machinima. It was this old, very popular Machinima series called Arby and the Chief, which focused on action figures, Arbiter and the Master Chief, and what they did was they played online Halo and met a lot of extreme personalities online. It's kind of like Toy Story if you combined it with the humor of like South Park or Family Guy. Anyway, Arby and Chief kind of inspired me to go into filmmaking, and so I started doing a bunch of classes regarding that. And when I got to high school, I started doing these TV video production classes. And the second, there was like two classes we had to take for this video production course. And the second one, they just said, like my teacher, she just said, you can work on whatever you want, just as long as you keep busy. And so I'm like, I'm going to just screw around and make an Arby and the Chief fan film. Because I am an unoriginal hack that way. I'm kidding. And so I worked on this Arby and the Chief fan-made movie called Arby and the Chief Next Gen. And what happened there was, it was so chaotic when I was working on this thing because, like, everything was, I was in the middle of a move. I just had all these other classes to deal with. And like, I was young, I wasn't that smart, and I wasn't that good of a writer, in my opinion, but for some reason, a lot of people really enjoyed it, which is very surprising to me, because by then, you know, Arby and the Chief, it had been all seven seasons, and it ended, it was before the eighth season started, and when I finished with it, I'm just like, probably just going to take a break, and it blew up. I don't know how it blew up, but the Arby and Chief Next Gen, as of now, is that compared to like all the other, I think, Arby and the Chief fan series, which there's like zillions out there, I think mine probably is the most watched, or at least the most viewed, because from what I can tell, the first part of the Next Gen movie has over 11,000 views. Might be 12,000, I don't know, I haven't checked in like a month.
Wow.
And I think that's compared to like the second highest, which would be Resurrection. I mean, it's not as high as John's because John has a bigger base, but I am very proud of how far it's coming. You know, people kept asking me, we want to see a sequel. You know, I already teased a sequel with the main villain of season one of Next Gen and the post-credit scene of the movie. And so, you know, I'm like, I've learned a lot more since then. I'm going to put some of this knowledge to work and, you know, see how it goes. And so I think I came a long way with season one compared to the movie because I just thought the plot was better, the acting, was a lot better. The effects were better. The story was just overall better. And I'm very proud with how that's come. All right, now I'm still working on episode 12. It's a huge episode. And it's been a few months since I've actually released an episode. So I'm thinking, so I don't lose any subscribers, I might release a Christmas special for next gen. So that could be something to look out for if you're following my channel.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm really proud that, you know, so many people are enjoying my take on it, which says something because, like, I think I'm the first one who actually, because when you compare, like, next gen to most other Arbina Chief fan series, most of them are trying to copy, like, the first, one to three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then mine actually tries to add on to the story after season 7 and expand upon the hacker lore there. And I'm not going to try to prop myself up because, you know, it's everyone's opinion, but a lot of people have actually told me that next gen is actually a little bit better than RB and Chief season 8, like the official one. I'm just like, I mean, I appreciate that, but it's everyone's opinion.
Yeah.
But I'm very proud of all the support I've had for this fan series, and it's given me a good audience, and I think as my audience grows, it'll allow me to become a little bit braver into venturing new territory.
Cool.
And do more original things, because I don't want to just be the guy known as the guy who made an RB and a Chief fan series. I want to branch out there, hopefully, in the future. Anyway, yeah, that's me.
Very nice.
You've never seen it? I really recommend watching it. Oh, John put them all on his channel.
Yeah, he's archived them.
But yeah, thanks for having me here, A-Star. I'm really glad I got to help you all out with the Halo Outpost stuff.
Thank you for collaborating with me on the promo video.
Yeah. thanks for having us. Yeah, and Dust, thanks for telling us that you were going to be doing this and for setting it up. I would have probably done it myself for the Houston one, but then you came by now and I'm like, okay, I'm going to join up here. Let him do all the work.
Yeah, we'll get into the story on behind how all this came together in a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Exactly, right? I'm going to go ahead and go on to our next guest, which is Echolight Media.
Oh, okay. I didn't think I was next, but okay. So what do you want me to, like, talk about?
Same stuff, how you got involved into the Machinima scene, and then what channels or projects you are in charge of.
Well, what kind of got me into Machinima was pretty much like a series called The Spartan Life.
Ooh.
What's the other one? It was called Jackass Halo Edition, I think. I don't know if anyone heard
it. I haven't heard of that one.
It's pretty much dead. I don't know what happened to this channel, but pretty much evaporated. So pretty much over the couple of years, I actually didn't have a computer, and my uncle had this computer that could connect to the Xbox. Pretty much that's how I got to record the little test stuff, and I was pretty much editing on Windows Movie Maker, actually.
Okay.
Piece of garbage in that work. So over the years, I've seen a lot of creators come and go, and I've been trying to like get back like into the actual community itself. Made a lot of machinimas were like private, mostly and unlisted.
Mm-hmm.
And later on down the line, I kind of made a whole bunch of machinimas on this channel called Halo Film Club. That eventually became like noticeable. But I never really made anything that was noticeable besides The Wasteland, which I have not finished.
Very nice.
Finish the fight.
I think there's that. Also, there's one thing I always wanted to do, because I noticed a lot of tutorials never really, I would say, like, every tutorial I've seen about Halo Machine is in the gray area, or it's, like, too long, like, 2 hours. So pretty much I just wanted to create some content or some tutorials that actually help the community in a way. That's pretty much what Halo Film Club is.
Cool. And we'll talk about, hopefully, that in a little bit more detail in a little bit. Next one we have here is I-Star.
Well, I don't want to repeat myself again because I feel like I did a pretty quick job, hopefully, doing it in the Anaheim.
It's I-Star as far as your handle.
A-Star. Like A-Star. A-Star.
A-Star. Oh, sorry.
I-Star. A-Star.
It's a play on my actual name.
So anyway. The Y is silent, basically. A-Star. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like I did a good job covering a lot of it in the Anaheim thing, but in short, started off as someone who just liked watching machinima as a kid, never figured out how to really make it. Then I started making some. It was really terrible. Took a break for it for a while after I fell out of the fandom. And then I hopped in right around the tail end of 2016 when I heard about a little place called The Hub, which is where we're in right now, from an old friend of mine. And now I have somehow wound up running the joint, and it's basically the home and community to where everybody can congregate, connect, and make machinimas. Within that time, I've become a voice actor out of pure hobby, and now, because of this hobby of mine, I work with everybody who I've either admired from afar or really wanted to help, and we've made a lot of really good content out of it. So I'm happy to be here, happy to be involved with the community for this long and keeping it going. So I'm going to let someone else talk now.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ascend, for the follow over there. Appreciate it. It's all good. This is all off the cuff, really, for this delivery of everything. Next up we have is Angelic Mango.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
So,
welcome back.
Yeah, I got like two brain cells right now. It's I don't know how coherent this is going to sound, but in short, so not to, you know, not to try not to like completely just repeat what I said during the panel, like with how Easter suggested. So I got into machinima by. I watched a trailer on. Okay, not a trailer. Oh, God. Okay, so do you guys remember how it should have ended?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So mm-hmm. I watched the Halo Reach one, and I had no idea what this was. I'm like, is this a movie? Is this, you know, some kind of a show? And, you know, went down the rabbit hole and found, you know, found the Halo Reach one. And through that, I looked up Red versus Blue, and I've looked up machinima, and from looking up machinima, I looked up, you know, our community, and there was a creator called Nightmare Films, and I offered to voice act for him, and from then on out, I got my own Elgato and started a series called Fallen Angel, then another series called Girl Stuff, and there's a couple miscellaneous things here and there, and yeah.
Very nice. And then we have next up Mateo Arts.
Hey, he said that my name right.
Okay.
Mateo Arts.
I thought it was Mateo Arts.
No, it's Mateo Arts.
A-Star. I'll remember that next time. A-Star.
It's good. There you go. Hi, my name's Matt. I run Starfall on YouTube. It's a YouTube channel dedicated to machinima, as you could probably guess by the very nature of this panel.
Mm-hmm.
I got into machinima a few years ago, I think probably more or less via big name productions at the time when it was popular, like The Forgotten Spartans or Red versus Blue. My interest peaked from there and I started making productions. As of the last and most recent years, you may know me from productions that I've made, like Shift, which seems to be my most popular franchise so far, or Seraph, which just came out today. And in the future, working on stuff like more of Acts of Seraph and Metronome.
Very cool.
Don't forget that Starfall merch.
I'm not here to plug my merch.
All good.
But I am here to plug the hub.
So now we have Pep. So Pep, tell us a little bit about... We've got some applause. Pep, tell us a little bit about how you got involved with Halo Machinima and what channels or projects you are in charge of.
Okay. I first started getting involved in Machinima when I was about maybe 11 years old. I don't know. It was 2011. Yeah. 2011, and I just saw the first episode of Rise of the Spartans, and I got really excited about it, and I wanted to do that, so I made very bad video game movies for a while, and then eventually, yeah, I still do, but, you know, it's a little bit better than what I once was.
Before you get onto anything else, I really want to just kind of shout out the the hub, because we're actually using the hub Discord right now, and we're this kind of been a place where you, A-Star, and Mateo Arts and a few other people have come together to create a central point where a lot of Machinima directors, actors, voiceover people can actually collaborate and share Machinima stories. So give us a little bit of, I know you kind of talked a little bit about this during the Anaheim Outpost, but I feel there's a little bit more to be said about the hub just from a larger scale, because it is something that is, I think, worth noting, especially within the Halo community.
Yeah, this is true. The hub is just a community Discord where anybody can join who wants to get involved in Machinima, whether they're a viewer or they're somebody who wants to get directly involved in making Machinima and some sort of the Machinima making process as somebody who's under our talent category, like voice actors, body actors, composers, 3D modelers and animators, or people who actually want to direct Machinima and make their own or work with someone and collaborate. Either way, it's been a place that has lasted since 2016. I think we're kind of entering our 4 years now of existing since then. And it's served as a great breeding ground for ideas and keeping this Machinima stuff alive, because after a lot of other communities have kind of gone down that were forum based and that had to deal with paying for web hosting, congregating, is that better? And it's served as a great place also like promote yourself and just kind of stay in the loop, because it's very easy to fall out of touch with what's going on and who's making stuff, because believe it or not, there's still a lot of people out there who still make Machinima but are completely devoid of the bubble that we have here, and they don't know that there's a community still.
Mm-hmm.
So they just kind of still make it, and that's kind of why I do the pipeline stuff where I watch Machinimas that are recently being made and try to bring people together. But with the community as a whole in the hub, it's something that I implore a lot of people to join if you've ever wondered about Machinima or wanted to know more or get to know the people behind it. It's something that I feel like anybody can join. It's had a slew of owners that have tossed it around like hot potato, but I've been the one who's kept it going since for well over a year now. So I'm happy to keep this alive, and I hope that it goes on longer.
Cool. Yeah, that's one of the things that we kind of lost touch with Halo 5 a little bit, just with how theater mode isn't quite there. And we talked a little bit about during the panels, and just so everyone is aware, for this podcast, we did actually post all of the panels in audio form to our feed. And then we also had the video streams, or not streams, but the videos that we recorded posted on YouTube as well. So if you haven't checked those out yet, definitely recommend checking those out. But we did talk a little bit about in the Anaheim, I think in a little more detail, but how Halo 5 doesn't really have a good pipeline for machine making, and it's a little more difficult than some of the other ones. But I'm kind of curious what your guys' takes are with Reach now on PC. It's kind of a nice timing to that effect. Yeah.
I played it at Halo Outpost. It looks very stunning in the 60 frames per second thing.
Mm-hmm. Have you played it now?
I haven't played it on the PC yet, but I did play it on my Xbox One.
It's very beautiful on PC. I got a 4K monitor and I hooked it up, and it's very pretty. It's very pretty.
It's very nice.
Man, imagine the crazy machinimas we're going to be able to make, like when mods finally start rolling around.
And theater mode and Forge. Yeah, it'll be a new renaissance.
Those hidden items in Forge actually are in Forge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know there's a lot of ideas out there, and something that hasn't really been explored too much is space battles. And granted, we don't quite have a space map yet, but the fact that we're getting the Pelican and the Seraphiter, the Saber, and the Phantom, those are all pretty interesting additions to have in there from an official capacity to do Machinima with.
I was going to say, while you can kind of get away with having the space infinitely out of the skybox and like Forge World and the other map that kind of looks like Forge World, are they gonna like try to create or like not bootleg together that space map from the campaign to kind of make it as an open area to use those, or no?
Well, with the mod support too, depending on how far the mods are supported from 343's standpoint, maybe someone can create their own space map or somehow get maybe the what's the mission in Reach that you go into space and fight in space? I'm blanking on the name. The tip of this, is it Long Night of Solace? Okay. I was thinking that, but for some reason I wasn't absolutely sure. But if
no
you could,
more poorly animated pelican scenes, just poorly acted ones. I think I know who Ascend's talking about there. But it's not that bad. It's not that bad, Ascend.
But what's your guys' take, and I'll just kind of go down the list here, from a perspective of how Halo 5 Machinima is to produce, and then since we have Halo Reach kind of back in the spotlight now, how that is to produce.
Halo 5, I feel like there's a lot in Halo 5 that is actually really good for Machinima, but there's a lot of setbacks, and I've said this several times, like in the past when we were like talking on in voice chat, with like how it get like, for some people, it may not be as easy to keep paying for Xbox Live just to make Machinimas on Halo 5, while on Reach, especially like on offline Xbox, it's so much easier just to use four controllers. But of course, everyone has their preferences, so that's just mine.
Yeah.
But with Reach on the PC, like you said, there's just so many opportunities. Like maybe someone may make a mod like those game cheat videos where they make the AI Spartans and hunters and stuff. Like, I could see someone making a mod sort of like that, and that would help with Machinimas tremendously. In my
you know opinion. What we truly need? We need like a Rockstar editor for Halo Theater Mode in the future.
Yes, just yes.
Yeah,
I think we mentioned that kind of in
Infinite.
In Houston, we were talking about that in Houston, like a Machinima mode that has stuff that, you know, other modes wouldn't have. Like, you can put on any armor you want, but it doesn't all transfer over to, like, the multiplayer side of stuff. Like, it's like a sandbox kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to answer Epsilon in chat, I think all of us have seen, like, a few of the videos that have come out, like the one from Lord Zed showing off the mods.
Yep, I've seen those.
I haven't even begun to dug into some of the mods that have already been out. And I've heard there's already a lot out there. But just think of the possibilities and the games that people want to have, like, go back to. And I know one of the appeals of Reach for a lot of Machinimas is the fact that you could have humans and elites actors for different missions. Yeah, Blark. And
grunts and stuff.
I mean, with mods, yeah. You could probably have any actor after mods. That opens up a big door for Machinima. I mean, what's your guys' take on the whole mods thing and being able to make new Machinima and come up with new ideas? Has it blown your mind so far? Are you guys still trying to...
You have no idea. I have a ton of ideas, but I'm not going to share them for spoiler reasons.
It means I don't have to buy a J-tagged Xbox.
Yeah, I was just about to say that... What is it? Is Lord Zed, I think, just posted a video of himself like a few weeks ago using an injector to put himself into different models. So he put himself into a hunter and a grunt. I don't know if there were any other models, but I mean, it shows that they can be controlled, I assume, with mods. So I'm sure that PC is going to have a field day with that.
I mean, hey, if you could turn Arthur Morgan into a little kid in Red Dead Redemption 2 through PC mods, I'm pretty sure you can do like a freaking scarab on Halo Reach.
Yeah.
Or someone just slap Warden Eternal NPC somewhere into there.
It kind of depends on how Warden much Eternal 343 scarab. Decides to support the modding community, because at some point Halo Reach is a much different game in the fact that a lot of its interactions are online and multiplayer. So I guess it depends on how much 343 decides, hey, we want to let this slide, or hey, you're not allowed to do that, and decide to...
In my opinion, I think they would benefit immensely from supporting mods.
I think so too, but you've got to... So, to point something out here, a few years back, Lord Zed, who we all know in the modding community, actually figured out a way to use theater in Halo 4's campaign mode, which was great because Halo 4 was the first Halo... where the theater function had been available, but you weren't allowed to use it in campaign, which was a major bummer for a lot of people. And so Zed figured out a way to put the camera in and actually be able to access theater mode while in campaign. And then he posted screenshots of that campaign and like video clips of it on his file share. And then 343 actually banned him for that. They removed his entire account. And I think they went after some of his alts too, all because he apparently broke terms of service. And so I understand that that was a few years ago and maybe 343's tune has changed, but I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes the history repeats itself if you don't call it out. So,
well, the nice thing is they've already come out and said they want to support mods, and there's already on the PC an anti-cheat less version of the game where you basically allowed to mod the game however you want. What the extent of that modding is still kind of unknown. And if they're going to release mod tools is another unknown that I would like to see as a possibility.
Private servers might help that a bit. Like, kind of like what Bethesda said they were going to do with Fallout 76, but didn't really. But kind of like what I said with the Machinima mode, like they could make a mode just, you know, specifically for mods or something. That way it doesn't affect like online gameplay and stuff.
But one of the things that I think is really cool for the modding scene is, I mean, you guys probably have a whole bunch of ideas. And I know, Beam, you said you didn't want to share anything to get stolen, but
I mean, there's a few things I can share, but just not much.
I guarantee no one here is going to try to steal your ideas, Beam.
When I say spoiler related, I'm talking about like if like some of the people who watch my stuff are watching this, like I don't want to spoil it for them, because you know I like to keep things non-spoilery, but there's like a couple of things I think that could work, like maybe Halo 4 armors being put into Reach or something, because I do like some armors in like Halo 4 and 5, not all of them, mind you, just a couple. And I think that would help improve. That's a minor thing though for me.
Well, what are just like some ideas that you've always wanted to do with Machinima that you've never had a chance to, and mods might be a way for you to actually do something about it now?
Giant battles. I mean, I know you can do it with like After Effects and stuff, but I mean like without having to use After Effects too much, like those kinds of giant battles. Like the kind of stuff you would see in, what was that Machinima? We put it in the compilation. I want to say it was like Darkspire Films or something. I can't remember, but it was like this huge battle between the Spartans and Elites, something like that, but without having to use like too much masking and After Effects. Like that's something I think would be possible with mods.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Sorry, I'm taking care of something right now.
What
about Death of Field?
Hmm.
That would actually pretty be interesting.
Being able to do some camera work.
Yeah. You know what? I think another thing would be cool would be like set up lights. Like you can light a scene.
Actually, no, they made a good point there. Like the movable cameras. You know, okay, because I'm sure we've all had this problem like when we're doing like Halo Reach Machinimas or something. When we're trying to move like the control sticks and it just goes a bit too far and we have to redo the scene all over again, and you know how annoying that gets. Like I kind of want a camera that like I can move like automatically, like when I set a scene, kind of similar to like in the Halo 5 Forge when you have those intro and outro cutscene things. You know what I'm talking about, right? For like custom apps, I want something like that, but for theater.
The start and end game cinematics?
Yeah, like toggleable cameras that are like that.
Well, that's something
to add on to that, actually. You know what would be great? Lens choices for like the cameras.
Yeah?
What, you mean like filters?
No, like
being able to change, like,
millimeter, yeah.
Like change the, like the f-stop or the depth of field. Or
like the focus.
Yeah.
God, that would make it so cool.
Like they can go to 100 millimeters or...
Oh, yeah, now I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that would help tremendously.
I think another thing that we brought up in like one of the wish list machinima things that kind of goes along with what you were talking about being able to have a scripted camera.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yes. That's what scripted camera, and make it toggleable too. That way you, this is me kind of reaching a bit, but it would be cool if we could save the camera position between different games. Like you go into one Boneyard game and you put a camera there, you get a scene, then you go to another game and the camera is still in the exact same place, hasn't moved, something like that. That would be awesome, but I'm not expecting that to happen. But I'm saying that would make my life easier, as well as a lot of other people, probably. Mostly mine.
Yeah, I could see that.
They should have, like, FX, like, explosion. Like, you can script the explosion or sparks or, like, dirt blasts. Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, that would make life so much easier.
Yeah. It would. I mean, there's probably a lot of stuff that you guys have wanted, and now there's a possibility. We don't know for sure, but at least with it coming back to PC and them officially supporting modding in a mod safe platform, it is something that you guys could probably hopefully benefit from.
I just hope they get it right in the first try without having to do like weird regulations and then people creating exploits. I just want it to be a fun process and like help everybody out. Anyway, Grumpy should be here momentarily.
I'm happy that 343 does seem to be taking things into consideration when it comes to like what they're allowing for mods and stuff. I'm hoping that they keep in contact with like the players, the machinima creators, the fans, all that stuff, which is what Halo Outpost was about, if you think about it, because there were a lot of actual 343 people there. You actually go talk to them and say, I like this, I like that. And I talked to a bunch of them several times, and so like there's no excuse to say, well, I couldn't find them anywhere. They're all over that convention, at least when I went.
Yeah, no,
of course, they recognized me from my jacket, so.
Right. You in that gold jacket.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and like for me, Machinima was one of those things that I really kind of latched onto, and it was one of those things that really attracted me to Halo, other than the story. Because
what attracted me to Halo?
Yeah. Because like my early stuff was Red versus Blue, the Spartan Life, the Codex. Those are kind of the main machinimas that really got me interested in the whole machinima side of things. And it was cool to see how Halo 1 was very rudimentary and you can only do so much with it. And then Halo 2 machinima really started to expand, and Halo 3 exploded with theater mode. And then Halo Reach, the stories that the machinimas told got a lot more intricate. And then
a little more serious too.
Yeah,
like Rise of the Spartans. Let's see, just
a lot of Halo 2 machinimas. Other than the Codex, a lot of them were just comedic.
Well, yeah, because the physics in those games were just noxious and stuff. Like everyone memes about like how tough the Warthog is to handle in some games.
Yeah, it's one of those things that. It's interesting to see the progression over time. And then when we get to Halo 4 and see the massive drop off of Machinima, it was a little disheartening to me. It's like there's a small little part of the Halo community that like rose and fell very quickly once Halo 4 came out. It seemed like.
Sorry to segue again, but it looks like Grumpy's ready.
Go eat some strawberry sushi.
Sorry. So before we bring Grumpy into the chat here, we have Mateo Art has to leave, but he did actually just premiere one of his latest machinimas. So, Mateo, you want to quickly plug that before you have to head out?
Sure. I just finished editing and producing Seraph, which is a story that takes place in a semi-dystopian future. In this future, two races have arisen. There's humans and there's mimics, which are artificial intelligences based on our own minds. And they've got a lot of scars from a decade-long war, which has now been over for nine years. As the new year comes around, a lot of people are worried that, you know, things are going to start changing and that something is going to come along and ruin it. And as it turns out, they are right. There's a hybrid of human and mimic anatomy named Seraph, who's been created by a radical inventor named Dr. Matheson, and it is Ewan's job to find her and hunt her down, but he's going to find himself conflicted as to whether or not he should follow his orders and take her down, or whether or not she even presents a threat and maybe he should allow her to grow and realize her full potential.
Okay.
It's a nice synopsis.
Yes. Does this connect to, like, Shift?
So
it's the Starfall cinematic universe.
Basically. Everyone keeps calling it that. So I'm gonna say loosely, it's not in the same universe as Shift, but it's in the same multiverse as Shift.
Oh,
that's interesting. Cool. That's so meta. And where can people find this machinima and all your other machinimas?
Yeah, people can find Seraph Act 1 on my YouTube channel, which can be found at just youtube.com/Starfall Studios. Alternatively, if you search up Starfall Machinima on the YouTube search bar, I should pop up. I'm the one weird looking blue compass icon kind of thing, whatever you want to call it, the star. All of my machinimas can be found there, and I hope that you guys enjoy them because I do enjoy my craft and I put a lot of effort into it.
Very nice.
I enjoy Minecraft too.
Sorry, what was that, Alistair?
I enjoy Minecraft too.
I felt like the most underrated machine you have on your channel is like Outbound. That was like my favorite one.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Outbound's also part of that skew.
Is it?
Starfall's, it is.
The Elvis universe.
The Elvis universe. you can call it that. Why not? Cool. Put that on the wiki.
Very nice. Well, thank you, Mateo Arts, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And we will chat with you later.
See ya. Thank you again, Dust.
Sure thing. And we'll bring in Mr. Grumpy Elite. And yes, applause as we got. So, Grumpy, tell us a little bit about how you got involved with Machinima, and then what videos or projects that you are currently leading, or any channels or groups that you are in charge of.
Oh boy, what a story that is. All right. Gather around, children. So, when I first came into Machinima, it was back in 2007, and I first got into Machinima watching the very great but simplistic Machinima, Playing with the Chief by John Graham. And I think that was like his second or third Machinima before he made... Yeah, before he made Master Chief Sucks at Halo 3, he made that one before that. And so I got him watching that, and I went on to Machinima's channel, and I started just watching a bunch of this stuff. And then I also was getting to Red vs. Blue, and then sort of exploded, and I was like figuring out how do all these people like getting this footage from the game? How do you do that? Is there like a stop motion software? Are they using video cameras to do this? So that, I was really perplexed by that. So, and then John Graham made his Machinima series, and that's when I found out you needed a capture card. And unfortunately, that cost money. And I was a kid, so I had an allowance, but I didn't know how to do online shopping.
Well, you don't just need a capture card, you also need, like, competence.
Wow. Okay.
Let's just say I didn't have any of that at a young age. So instead, I did sort of a workaround, which was taking my dad's camcorder and putting on a tripod and putting it in front of my TV to record theater footage in one take while I was voicing over it as it goes along.
And obviously using a camcorder, that would be a while ago. Was that for Halo 1 or Halo 2 that you started?
That was for Halo 3.
Halo 3, okay.
Yeah, because that's when they had introduced theater mode, and that's when I first got into watching Machinima. That's when I discovered people were making stuff with theater mode. So I wanted to make movies and such, but some of the ideas I had would require an immense budget to do. So Halo 3 enabled me to make some of the ideas I wanted with no budget, and I'm a very cheap person. I mean, I still use the game DVR. And going from there, there was this one person I met who was he used to be called Mumble Films. He's changed his name. He made this thing called Halo Shorts. And he lived, I learned that he lived close by me. It's still up. It's still kind of up. It's unlisted. But if you look up Halo Shorts, there should be a playlist, so you can still look through that. And he lived close by me, and I was living in Mississippi at the time. And I got through him through Xbox. He was on the second episode, and I got through him. I'm all like, hey, I really like your stuff. And we started talking. We became good friends. And I was able to be in episode 4 and I think episode 7 of Halo Shorts. And I helped them body X some of the stuff because they had to use their, you know, controllers. But then as soon as they did more and more stuff and me along with other people helped them, we can have more people in the machinima to have more people on screen. So that was going along, and then it was going on and on and on and on, making Halo Shorts, and eventually he was going to make an ambitious project called Mongoose Hunting, which is going to be this multi-part series about animalistic vehicles in Halo 3 that people hunted. It was weird, but it was interesting, but unfortunately, you know, stuff happened. He didn't fall through with it, and eventually I was still using my camcorder, but then he was all like saying, like, yay. I'm kind of done with Machinima. Do you want my capture card? Yes, was my reply.
Cool.
And so he mailed me the capture card, which I was in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. He was in Gulfport. And it was like 2 or 3 hours, so he was able to mail it to me. So I got this little Dazzle, 360 or 480p, whatever it was. And with my dad's help, I was able to hook it up to the main computer, which was also like right next to my Xbox and my TV. So it was just really nice setup. And I had it just in time for Reach when Reach came out. And that's why I decided to make my own channel dedicated to Machinima. And I made it with a bunch of other my friends. We called it the Halo_Zero Clan.
Okay.
Friends.
Very nice. And what kind of Machinimas do you make now with that?
Hold up, give me 1 second.
Well, he doesn't make it with the Dazzle DVC 100 anymore, I can tell you that.
That's like old school capture card.
Ancient hardware.
Yeah, ancient stuff indeed. Yeah, right, sorry, I remember just, my dad's bleeding again. One of those game DVRs.
All right, sorry, my dad was asking me a question.
No worries.
He was asking, what do you make now?
hold up, before I get to that, let me continue the story. It gets interesting. Oh, no. Is that so?
Don't do another 20-minute Beaminator intro, please.
Don't wait. I'm gonna get through. I'm gonna give Beaminator his time. I'm gonna give him his time.
I got
Halo_Zero Clan. We made a whole bunch of machinimas in Reach. We made a lot of stuff, but then you know, I moved in from 2011 to Louisiana, and I wasn't able to have the same setup I had in Mississippi, where I had my TV right next to my computer, so I couldn't really make anything with that. So I kind of gave the password to one of my friends, who then made other stuff on that channel. And then 2012 came around, I moved to Florida, and then I learned that the channel gets a exploded boom, because unfortunately, me being the Dumbo I am, made the great decision to use anime music in our videos. And if you know from that time, if you ever used anime music from that time, anime companies like Viz Media were cracking down on copyright, and the channel got taken down because we used a crap ton of anime music in our videos. All of it's gone. I was able to archive a few of them on a separate channel called Zayu Dex, which has a few of the oral machinimas, but most of them are gone. And so I didn't start making machinima. I was going to get back when Halo 4 came out. Didn't want to do it, and then kind of gave away my Dazzle away to someone else. And so years later, in 2015, I do this project for my dad for his work, and he rewards me by giving me my own Xbox One. And what came with the Xbox One was MCC. And what I discovered on my Xbox was the game DVR, a way to make machinima without having to spend money. It was a match made in heaven. And from there on, I've been cranking out machinimas again and again and again. That's where I am today.
Very cool. Oh, come on.
Wow, A-Star. I can't believe this.
Very nice. So, So just to get you up to speed on where we were at before you joined, we just kind of were talking about how with MCC and Reach Out now and MCC supporting mods, some of the ideas that people have had for Machinima that they haven't really been able to act on upon before, but something that mods being officially supported might lend itself to as far as coming up with new ideas for Machinima or being able to tell new stories, because you can either create new maps or environments through mods, or being able to have different body actors, like in a grunt or a hunter, that kind of stuff. So if you want to contribute to that discussion, feel free. If not, we can move on to some other stuff I wanted to bring up.
Well, what I'm hoping that people will implement is when theater comes out, I'm hoping they will be able to sort of get into the settings of theater, because there's some games like Fallout, GTA, where people have modded where they acted, they added extra settings to the camera features in those games. Same for CE, someone is able to do that too. So I'm hoping with, you know, Reach MCC be on a PC, when theater releases, someone, maybe one of us, will mod the theater camera to give us a lot more options, a lot more stuff to do with it. Like, one thing I've been having an idea that Halo can implement was that there was a camera system in Black Ops 2 to where you can set up multiple cameras and you can switch between those cameras instantly by using hotkeys on your controller.
Yeah, that'd be nice. So, and someone was talking about being able to like bookmark a camera position in a map and then be able to go to that position every time you play on that map.
Yeah, in Halo CE PC, there's a way to bookmark different locations using the command prompt to type in a code, load camera save here, and you can save a camera location. You just type in a code to load the specific camera location. You can go back there.
Oh, that's interesting. So yeah, if it'd be cool if something like that and some of the other stuff that you see through, especially Halo Custom Edition, because that was the big modding scene for PC back in the day. See some of those practices get transferred over to the MCC modding side.
God, I hope so.
I think that'd be really cool. Something that we really didn't touch on too much, I think in the panels, and correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I remember, we didn't really get into
your guys'
methodologies on how you come up with ideas for your machinimas and how you execute on those ideas. I think we did talk a little bit about how you might do some of your process flows of like, okay, you storyboard it, then you act it out, you get voiceovers and that kind of stuff. But how do you guys come up with your machinima ideas? And how do you kind of filter it out based on, okay, I know this is going to work well or this isn't going to work well. I need these kind of certain people or whatnot. And Mango, not to call you out, but you've been a little bit quiet, so I'm going to give you the floor first if you'd like to chime in on that.
Well, the first two answers that came to my mind was out of spite. And
I mean, that's,
you don't have to fake laugh.
That's valid, sure.
And based off life experiences and just stupid stuff that I think about on a daily basis. And that's my machinima process.
I mean, it's relatable. That's how some comedy TV shows are made, right?
I mean, Fallen Angel was completely just based off me being pissed off at this book I read this one time.
Fair enough. Mar, why don't you go next? Same thing for you?
No. No, the way my thought process is like, what if I grab this show and grab this movie and just cram it together and I just get this idea that's pretty much spliced from everything I've seen to create... there's no such thing as original ideas. I want to create something fresh, something that's kind of familiar but not too familiar.
So mm-hmm. Hyper crossover.
Yeah. I want you to ask the Wasteland, but that's production hell. So I'm starting this new series called what was it called? Oh, World War II. And it's pretty much kind of this gunslinger, one person versus the whole world type of thing. Well, he has a partner. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's pretty much spliced a whole bunch of stuff from different movies and media.
Do you try to make it to where the themes of those different types of media are similar, or do you kind of go beyond the bounds of, I'll call it sanity, and take one extreme and another extreme and try to mash them together?
I try to like grab different things together to create like this whole new genre. So it's like something different that people haven't seen. The original concept I was going to do for The Wasteland was this post-apocalyptic but dystopian kind of drama that's probably never ever seen. I kind of failed at it miserably.
Hey, you got to try and then you see what works and see what doesn't work.
Yeah, pretty much The Wasteland was going to be a like half story outside these giant walls protecting the cities. So you already have like two themes already. Like inside the walls is a dystopian futuristic
type of feel, and the stories outside the walls is like this post-apocalyptic kind of genre.
So that's interesting. So you use a wall to kind of differentiate, but you're still using your machinimas to kind of incorporate both themes into one story.
Yeah. If I ever got to that part of story and when the characters are inside the cities, it's pretty much the whole kind of theme changes. So the wall is pretty much kind of like an invisible barrier in a way, which is part of story.
Huh. Interesting. Very cool. Beaminator, how about you?
Well, for me, it's like I'm just like when I see like a movie or something, and I'm just like, how would I do this? Like, how would I take some of these ideas and kind of do them in my own way? That's kind of what it was with Art Being the Chief Next Gen. I'm just like, how would my take on this look, and would it even work? And I'm like, well, what's the worst that could happen? And I guess it worked somehow. And in other cases, I'm just like, this sounds cool. Might want to, you know, just try experimenting with this, try experimenting with that. Just whatever's cool at the moment that I think of is just, all right, just put that in somewhere. Just I'm like, would I like this? Would I want to watch this? That's what I always ask myself when I'm thinking of something. I'm like, would I be excited to watch this? And if I'm saying yes, I would be excited for this, then I will write it in. Now, sometimes, like with a couple episodes that are like filler, I'm just going to be like, well, I wouldn't be excited for it, but, you know, it's kind of important to the story, so I got to put it in anyways. So, but that's my process. Just would I want to watch this? Do I think it's cool? Can I make this work? That's another good thing. But that's pretty much it. Nothing much other than that.
All right.
Wow, Al, let's take my spotlight.
So before we move on, we're going to introduce another person into this podcast. I think this is number 3 for mid-show introduction. So we're going to have Outlet Chief on here as well. So thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Certainly. I'm going to finish off this question, and then we'll do a little introduction for you. So Grumpy Elite, how about you as far as your idea process?
So like 5% of my ideas come from reading books, 10% comes from playing video games, and another 10% comes from watching movies or TV shows. About 70% of my ideas come from sitting on the toilet and listening to music.
Valid.
So what is it about the music that inspires your scripts? That's a very interesting
So how my brain works approach. Is that I'm always like having visual images in my head at almost all times. So whenever I'm talking to people, I'm also thinking about something else visually in my head. I can think about two things and talk about another thing at once. And while I'm working on the toilet, while I'm listening to music, I'm sort of thinking about what would go with this music. Like, I've been listening over and over to this song called Blue Monday by Helf, which was in the movie Atomic Blonde. And that's sort of given me a bit of an inspiration for a short I want to make with Halo MCC, with Reach MCC, about this spy who's going into German territory trying to get this microfilm that contains information about the east and west side of the Berlin Wall, just made from this one song because it matches up with the lyrics. And I want to make a specific part using that song. And that's all just listening to that music on the toilet.
That's interesting. I don't think I've heard an approach quite like that for machinima, at least from a lot of the other machinimators that I've had the opportunity to meet. So that's a very unique perspective on things. Cool. A-Star, I know you're more of a kind of like helping organize the machinima side of the Halo community. You don't do as much directing now, but for things that you have done, or if you were to kind of go back into that role of developing your own machinima, what would be some of the things that you look at for coming up with ideas?
I mean, it's not like I don't direct. Outside of machinima, I work as a cinematographer and filmmaker. So I do direct things occasionally because, I mean, right before Outpost that we did, I was shooting a film with Pep. But the thing is that if I were to make machinima again, because there have been a few ideas I've been sitting on, it's just I don't have the time anymore. My creative process is usually thinking about something I feel like would be interesting that I know hasn't happened before or isn't something I've seen that I feel like I would enjoy, because a lot of people, they will find an inspiration from watching something that already exists, whether it's a movie, a show, or a plot device. And I don't like working off of those things, because I know that they work for what the project is that you're watching. But if you feel like, okay, I want to make this based off of this, I need to figure out why I want to see it happen and why I'm invested in the process. And, you know, at that point, you just kind of go from a rough idea of outlines of these ideas and bullet points. And then eventually you put that together into a draft, then a screenplay. And I think that's how some of the people in here work. That's how Pep works, as far as I know, when he was putting together Promised Land. And if I were to make Machinima again, there's a couple ideas that I would make. And one of them being, because I'm not afraid to talk about Machinima ideas, is you know, a big kind of bait and switch of social perspective on how war changes people depending on who's telling the story. You know, that often said thing in history of whoever wins the war is the one who writes history. And it's also like that with films, because most of the time it's that way, even if you're rooting for like the bad guy or the anti-hero. But a lot of the time, sometimes you might find yourself wondering what happens if, what would happen if we got to see this movie from the bad guy's perspective, and are they really the bad guy? And I had the situation, my idea with Machinima, where neither side is good, and we're seeing it from one guy's side, and we're kind of rooting for him the entire time, and then by the end, we figure out he's not as good of a guy as we thought, but we're kind of stuck with him, and then there's a twist that happens with him at the end. So that's the kind of idea that I have, to where it just kind of gets people thinking. I think someone who kind of like thinks like that as well, with at least in that kind of an idea for these impactful machinimas, might be Q-Man. He comes to mind, and he's pretty creative with that stuff, especially with his series like The Dictator, and he has like three of them. So I feel like there's a lot of room for that. People can usually just turn them into like a drama instead of it being about war or the Halo universe or sci-fi stuff, but each their own. That's what I would do if I were to get back to Machinima. I'm not gonna, I originally started off trying to make this whole,
well, you know what they say, every hero, every you know what they say, every villain is the hero of their own story.
Yeah, that's a, it's a helpful way to think about things if you're gonna write something interesting instead of just writing the whole good versus evil trope. Not that that's bad, it's just I enjoy challenging myself, even if it means I don't really get to make it in the end, because I'm doing other things now. It's kind of why Pep has shifted away from Machinima. He's because he and I are making films now.
Okay. Would you say that's like there's a lot of crossover in that, or are there some distinct things that you would do for filmmaking that you wouldn't do for cinema, and vice versa?
Oh, to be honest, no, there's a lot of overlap and crossover, which is why I want to definitely stay where I am and keeping the community a thing instead of like abandoning it like every other guy who's run this. Because to be honest, for a lot of people here, while it is a hobby, Machinima is the cheapest and easiest way to get into filmmaking without the tools and without all the other expenses and headaches, like actually getting locations and actors, etc. Because you get to practice and refine all of these very fundamental filmmaking skills with the simple tools that you have for playing games with people in a very social side of the world. And that's what I want to continue doing for people who want to kind of take that step forward into filmmaking and pursue it, because otherwise it's like they're stuck with trying to save up money from a day job to buy a little camera and work with people locally, and then if they want to go to film school. And to be honest, it's just you learn the stuff by experience, and however you do it makes how good your ability is to tell a story. Because I didn't want to make it that whole Machinima idea that I thought of as a kid of like, oh, it's a story between me and my friends. We're all together living together in a house, and it's crazy. I want to make a situation that basically uses the game engine as the medium to tell the story, which a lot of people do, but inviting other people to do that as well and take Machinima more seriously as an ability to tell a story, as opposed to just this genre. And Yeah, there's a lot of overlap. People definitely pick up on a lot of the same things. Just the basics of directing people, editing your film together, and learning shot composition, especially shot composition, learning how to use the camera. The only difference is, you know, once you're in the real world and you don't have a budget, you're working with your hands. You're working with what you got. You don't get a fly cam. That's actually a good thing. No more weird, aimless cameras flying around. You're actually grounded and you can make things that are more real and tangible.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Like, for now, I'm working on this feature film. And it's like nothing compared to making an actual machine. I'm like, I don't have access to this. I don't have access to this. All I have is these two actors I'm relying heavily on instead of voice actors doing this.
I do have really long, shoot days.
Especially when you're doing guerrilla filmmaking and you're like a student or
it's
you're not.
It's grueling, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. For example, when I was in LA for the first shoot, we did a reshoot afterward with Pep, but the first shoot was literally, I was supposed to be down there for 3 days. I was down there for five. I missed two whole class days, and each shoot day started from roughly, and it was raining in California, bad. But it started from 7 a.m. and we'd wrap at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Anything that could go wrong right. Went wrong.
They're hard. That's how it is for a lot of stuff. And future dust. That's honestly, that's how it really is in the real world. That's what you got to think of when it comes down to moving away from the eases that, you know, having everything built in for you in the game that it gives you. But it's just it's a big passion. And I think that's probably something that people might even enjoy as being part of the process if they do ever step out of the machinima world into real filmmaking, because there's so much overlap. It's something that I think a lot of people should consider if they want to become a filmmaker and they just don't have the resources.
I think I did mention that at the Halo Outpost.
I just hear from a couple of other smaller directors that don't really do nothing, but I just feel like it should be pointed out. Paperwork is an essential part of machinima. There's scripts, there's some shot list or some storyboarding that needs to be done before shooting machinima. Because I'm one of those people as well, I do admit. I want to make a series, I want to get to the first episode and never finish the series. I feel like we should actually look more into the future of, okay, this is what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to pretty much shoot everything I need, do everything I need, so it can come out as a good product instead of focusing on this one solo episode or small part of this. Like, keep track of everything you do, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Like, write down every single thing.
Okay. Very nice. And then we have A-Star. I believe you said that he's one of the other founders of the Hub. Is that right?
More so inheritor. We're both inheritors of this place.
Okay. All right. So,
Epsilon, screw you. That's one of my mods on my my server.
Just been called
now,
out.
Dust.
Oh, geez. Oh my god, he kind of
does. So, Outlet Chief, we've been having people kind of introduce themselves as far as how they got into machinima. But before that, since we're kind of still wrapping up this topic, have you? I guess. If you still direct or produce machinima, what's your creative process as far as coming up with the story that you want to tell? Or if you've done it in the past, how did you do it?
But you don't want to have him start with opening up about who he is first and then into that, or no?
I'm reversing it for him on this one.
Oh, that's going to be interesting.
I've produced a few machinimas in the past few years. In terms of the creative process for those ones, the shorter ones I made, a few I've used inspiration from real world events. I know for one of them, this one called Tribulation, it was kind of based off of this more so scenario of those U.S. soldiers who were in Benghazi for the movie 13 Hours is what I'm trying to reference here. Kind of what followed in the aftermath of that, if it were somewhat set in the Halo universe. But in terms of producing longer things, which is what I'm currently working on, I somewhat get inspiration from books. I mainly get inspiration from music, like Grumpy mentioned, other films, and then again, video games. In terms of the story, I just come up with things on a whim. I mean, there's not much to explain in terms of my creative process. It's very underwhelming.
Hey, it's whatever works for you. So if other people are listening to this that want to get into it, it's another.
Oh, so there's two Epsilons. I just now noticed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Epsi.
But yeah, there's really not much to my creative process. Other than, like, I guess the common issue I run into is, like, seeing those other films and seeing those other, like, sources of media, and then getting inspired again to, like, somewhat alter what I've already got in motion, which has been a pretty big hurdle for, like, this most recent thing I've been working on for a few years now. I think, like, there's a set, like, this term called, like, the active procrastinator or something like that, where you try and perfect something so much, you want to make sure it's perfect, but you end up just essentially procrastinating and not getting anything done because you keep wanting to revise it. And that's kind of been a challenge I've had to overcome, with just saying, it is what it is, move on. So yeah, that's all I got to say about my creative process, I guess.
That's fine. Yeah, what's the catchphrase? Like, if you try to make it perfect over and over again, you'll never finish, or something like that.
I'm not too sure about, like, the actual term. I think it's something along the lines of, like, an active procrastinator.
Yeah, if you try to make it perfect, you end up trying to make Black Mamba and you never come out with it.
Now, there's something else that I'm thinking of. It's like, I'll have to, unless someone in the chat knows what I'm talking about. But anyways, but yeah, so with that, how did you get involved with Machinima in the first place?
So really, like, the first Machinima, first one I ever watched, I think, was it's by the Dead Sound, drawing a blank on the name, but it was by the Dead Sound Studios back in, I think, like 2009, around that era. It was shot, I'm guessing, like a Dazzle capture card, because of the quality and the format and all that. And then obviously the aforementioned Rise of the Spartans later on. And then I eventually found some of Digital Virus's work. I was like, hey, that looks pretty cool. Might give that a shot. And so I did early on. Everything for everyone early on just sucks. So I think around like 2010, 2011, 2012, I made my first Machinima. And it's since been completely wiped off the internet and off any hard drives I have.
Is that from a desired state, or was that not desired?
Oh, no, it was very desired. It was very intentional. Very intentional. And then I think, I don't know what happened in this, like, gray lull area from, like, 2012 to, like, 2016. I think 2016 is around when I joined this Discord server, really having, like, a fire lit beneath me, wanting to make something. And, like, really wanted to improve, and I really did improve, proud to say. And that kind of, I started this one series, made the first part, and I've been working on the second part for way too long. I think we're bordering into, like, 4 years now. So, I mean, that kind of takes in part of the active procrastinator thing that I mentioned before. But, yeah, so that's kind of a brief summary.
Very nice. So I wanted to wrap up this show because we touched on this, I think, Beam, I think we touched on this in Houston a little bit, and we did touch on this in the Philly panel, but we did not touch on this in the Anaheim panel because of time.
Which one was it?
It is, what are some features that you would like to see from a Machinima perspective in Halo Infinite?
Oh, we, yeah, did, I'll let talk the others go on that one, because I think I did talk about this earlier in the stream.
We did too. And we kind of mentioned it earlier today, the aforementioned lens capabilities that in aperture control, which are possible. They're not only possible in editors like After Effects, they're possible in other games. And I think if 343 knows we still exist, which is evident by them having a panel for us, hopefully the people behind the actual engine for theater think about those things, since I think people like Bacon Media and Ascend Hyperion and other big Machinima creators have proven what something like Halo 5 can be capable of, and maybe it'll bring more attraction towards their game. I don't know, hopeful.
Yeah, certainly. That's one of the things that I hope through the panels and some of the other stuff that they've been able to take back and chew as far as feedback goes for Infinite. I just ask again because some of the stuff that we talked about earlier was kind of related to the modding stuff, but just natively supporting features that you would like to see in the Machinima or Theater or Forge tool sets within the game, or some of those things that you want to see. And I think for Anaheim, we barely talked about it because it was one of those things where, again, we were getting time crunched at the end. But I know we had shared some things. I didn't know if there were any other things that you guys had wanted to bring up that we didn't have a chance to really talk about.
Aside from having like easier accessible coordinates for lining up cameras in the same spot for different shoots, I also, or just save points, which is what Grumpy kind of mentioned with Halo CE, I definitely think introducing new camera controls that can mimic how cameras actually work in cinema might be really helpful. Just, I would say that more so like, not even like, oh, it's slower, better pans, more, you need like scripted movements, which is what people like Bacon Media are doing with those little Halo 5 cutscene introductions, and they work so well for that. More of that would help a lot, but I don't know. Do you think Halo Infinite might have bigger parties? Not that I really think it's even feasible to rally more than 16 people together to body act at once without, you know, it being chaotic.
That's a good question. With the whole infinite possibilities thing, and with a lot of people really, well, I feel like there's a 50-50 split in the community of wanting BR and not wanting BR, but I think with the power of the Xbox One and everything they're trying to do, I don't see why they can't try to support a bigger lobby size. I mean, with Warzone, they already support up to 24 people. So why not just make that something available for a custom game?
I heard AI.
Go on. I heard AI.
We have a question in the chat.
I was going to get to it after we had this little discussion.
All of you are Machinima directos, but are you fans of a series of another Machinima creator?
Is that your question or the chat question?
Maybe of a Hispanic language. No, this is from the Epsilon Studios in the chat.
I think Dust said you wanted to hang on that for a sec.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a sec.
Yeah, we'll bring that up in a second, Epsilon. Or the Epsilon Studios, not the other Epsilon. Yeah, AI is another big one. I think that in combination with being able to body act as some of the other races in the game are very similar, but definitely serve different purposes.
It would be really interesting just to have very basic spawning controls like Gmod in Halo Infinite, because in Gmod, not only can you load up ragdolls and have fun basically making a stop motion sequence, which would be really cool, but it's like we'll do that with SFM, just to spawn in actual NPCs and kind of turn them on to friendly or aggressive mode, so that way you can stage these shots using with all the hard work that the animators put in to the game to build the authenticity of something. Say you want to have like a Covenant base, it really adds to it. And now we actually have a like a more tangible, believable universe that isn't just taking place in firefight.
What would be interesting is to have some kind of Halo version of SFM where you can go in and do those custom animations and be able
to... It depends
on
the new engine they're making. Cause
it does.
The only reason why SFM is possible is just because of like how versatile and I guess multi-faceted the Source engine was for Valve. They built everything in that.
Well, and the Slipspace engine is basically built from the ground up. So as far as being able to have different capabilities and new things that they've wanted to do, it sounds like as long as they're having a listening ear to what Machinimators want, and Machinimators kind of crossed this interesting threshold of their forgers as well in a way, with a heavy usage of theater. So having that in there, if as long as it's something that has been picked up by 343, then hopefully that's something that can be implemented in the long run.
Well, Beam, before you pop out, did you want to stick around for that Epsilon question?
I think I've already said like what my I already said like R being the chief earlier. Nah, yes. I've just got to head out because I got stuff to do.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Dust.
Yeah.
I will talk to you all later. Hopefully we can do the Machinima panel again next year.
Hey, if there's an opportunity, we'll try to get it done.
Oh my god, what was that? Oh, that was scary. Oh my god. Sounds like someone's dying. God, this is so strange, future dust.
So does anyone else have any additional comments to add to the features list before we address the questions?
So I don't know if anyone, I can't speak for what anyone harped on before, but I think like most of the Machinima stuff probably stems from like Forge, and really, like if they can give us just as many assets as possible, like pieces from campaign, obviously AI, pretty much anything we can make, I mean, we can use to make our own like scripted sequences, like from campaigns, like if you see like a pelican crashing down from the sky from being shot down, stuff like that, where it would take us like compositing that into a shot versus just actually having it happen in game, make things be like a lot easier. So basically just as many assets as they've made as possible, putting that in Forge.
Yeah, basically I could see theater easily turning into, I guess what essentially Gus was mentioning is like a Halo SFM minus the actual like importing of models. It's more so just it's an editor where you meticulously keyframe these little complex sequences, and I think that would be really cool. Like not even just the NPCs of the Covenant or anything, but like NPCs of Marines and all the civilian models, or like even ODSTs. That way, you have a better idea for scale.
Well, and to that effect that you brought up, maybe instead of not necessarily having to have all of the modding capabilities on console, leave those modding capabilities on PC.
Yeah, because of the resources.
Right. I mean, look at what they're doing with MCC right now. You have basically the mod version of the game, or the mod flag where you can go in and modify the game, and they're not going to do anything about that necessarily. But then you have the...
Open up an official Reddit for it.
Yeah. Game Cheat did that, yeah. But then you have the regular game that would be for everyone else, so maybe for people that wanted to make their own models or that kind of stuff can do it in the mod-free side of Halo Infinite if that's something that they decide to do. And then that opens up those doors so you can kind of cater to both audiences, where someone just wants to use the tools that are in the game, or if someone wants to go above and beyond and actually mod something into the Halo universe, they can go around in that route.
I agree. I'm trying to figure out who Epsilon is. I feel like he's probably one of the Spanish SFM guys we have. But for the sake of, like, honestly, I'm a fan of a lot of ongoing Machinima directors and series. But I primarily like a lot of the people who are actively trying to make stuff and, you know, raise the bar in the community. If you're going to bring up the Hispanic directors, honestly, I really love a lot of what Ultimo Player's done.
So there's two things I think they could possibly add, one of which is just directly for theater, which I think they should look for inspiration outwards. Like, as I mentioned before, Black Ops 2 lets you set up different camera locations, but the Rockstar editor in GTA that allows you to rotate your camera to like different angling sort of in different pitches, but it also allows you to track one camera location, set a time, set another camera location, and the camera will pan by itself to that location to whatever time you set it to as. You can change the lenses, you can change the FOV, you can change whether there's in camera wiggle, you can change the color grade of it, you can also change whether or not it can track a person or track a specific location as it's moving. So there's a lot of stuff that I think they can look outwards to sort of improve upon theater. Another thing, and this is something they can also do to Forge, is that scalable Forge objects, like let's say you have the big satellite thing from the Ascension map from Reach, and you're all like, man, would it be cool if I can have this very small? And you can just scale it down. Or let's say you want a tank, and you want to make a small tank. Or let's say you have an assault rifle, you want to make a big assault rifle. Whatever, the possibilities are endless. So you don't have to worry on preset, you know, Forge object sizes. You can just scale it down up and down by yourself.
Huh. That's actually a really good idea. I think it's a really good idea, at least.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential.
Cool. Mango, I think you're the only one that hasn't chimed in yet, if you want to chime in on that, on the question.
I'll be honest, I'm like nodding off. I don't think I have anything constructive to add.
Okay. Well, so the one question that we had from chat was, are you guys fans of other series, other Machinima series creators? Are you fans of a series or other Machinima creators?
I've already answered this, so I think we're good on that part for me.
Like, Machinimas made of all time or current Machinimas?
I think that'd be important.
I'll modify the question to, is there anything outside of your own Machinima, and then kind of on top of that, is there anything outside of Halo Machinima that's still within the realm of Machinima that you guys follow or draw influence from?
Okay, definitely. There's the Half-Life series called the G-Man Squad, which is just a bunch of guys using the G-Man skin and f***ing around in Black Mesa. Then it devolves into this weird conspiracy theory series. It's weird. It's strange. That's sort of where I get some of my coming from, including the kind of G-Man Machinima Mass Effect and the series Elliot Goes to School by Kideo706, who unfortunately passed away a couple years ago. His stuff definitely inspired most of my comedy, most of my sense of humor and how I make stuff, because to me personally, I think he's the king of G-Man Machinimas. There's a lot of quality and a lot of funny stuff that happens in this machinima. And another one I sort of draw influence from, another Half-Life one called Civil Protection, where two civil protection police officers just run around, talk about different things, and sort of mess around in City 17. And let me think. That might be it.
Or been chosen?
Shush, Professor Breen.
How about the rest of y'all?
I think that might be it out of Machinima, but out of Halo Machinima. But in Halo Machinima, References Blue, John Graham, Arby and the Chief, Hard Justice, One Life Remaining, Matchmaking, Phil, the Phil series. There's this obscure one that no one knows about, only me, and I kind of introduced it to A-Star, was Lost Halo Style, which is this weird machinima where people are lost on the island and the Covenant are attacking. Things go very, very wrong. It's very strange and weird. But recently I've liked Promised Land by Pep, the Huntress series by Ascend Hyperion, and the Installation of Seven series by Jerry Freeman.
Okay. Very good. Thanks for sharing. Outlet?
I mean, I'm a fan of the Shift series. I know that's, I think that's over. I was pretty engaged in that by Mateo Arts for Starfall Studios.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't got a chance to watch his newest one yet. I'm interested in Huntress a little bit.
Oh, that's the one I was going to mention too.
Aside from what Grumpy kind of said about Installation 07, there's not really much out there that I'm like thoroughly engaged in. Not to like throw shade at anyone, but
no, I mean, yeah, there's only so much time in the day, and I mean, I know there's a lot of Halo Machinima that I haven't watched that I've been meaning to watch, and it's just trying to find the time to actually get through it all. And there is quite a bit of Halo Machinima out there. I mean, even though it's kind of a small group right now, there is quite a lot of content being generated. And I was very fortunate to have Ascend Hyperion know quite a few of you guys and be able to point me in your direction just to get you guys on the panel to start with. But yeah, you guys are a nice little tight-knit community, and I hope that Halo Infinite gives a chance for that to kind of rise to a little bit more mainstream like it was in the Halo 3 and Halo Reach days.
Yeah, I completely agree. I want there to be another renaissance, and while I did think that was going to happen with El Dorito, I think that's more likely, at least with the open reach of it, accessibility, especially with Steam and being on PC, that we will get a lot more Machinima probably out of MCC coming to PC. And I just hope that the porting process is pretty smooth, and hopefully the features will come out in a relatively efficient order, and we can start seeing some new interesting Machinimas. There might even be people who want to remake their Machinima series, or reimagine it because of all the new accessibility that the port will give us.
Yeah, that's a good point. Just got to put all the time and effort into it again.
Epsilon has a quick question.
Yeah. Well, Mango hasn't had a chance to answer if you want to.
Oh, I was going to say Huntress as well.
Okay.
That was the... Oh, man, I really got to get on watching Machinima again. Oh, I've been so busy.
I mean,
I feel that's most people's lives at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll take this one last question, Epsilon FRL, and then we're going to wrap up the show. It's been nearly 2 hours. So Epsilon FRL asks, he just released his first Machinima, and he was wondering if there are any tricks or ways you have to get more attention to your Machinimas. And I think the first answer to that is hop into the Hub Discord.
Yeah. We all, not only do we provide each other resources and a lot of techniques and workarounds for stuff, like at the very beginning of the stream, Justin mentioned, you know, initially Halo 5, there were some issues. I can definitely foresee that being a thing that probably happens with Reach PC once the rest of the features roll out and implement, but like, we're pretty good about finding workarounds and alternatives for issues like that and new techniques that people don't think about too often, but we also watch a lot of each other's stuff and support each other, and it's a great way to get involved with all that. Epsilon, I'm not sure if you're in this server, actually, but that's the first step. Second would be you need to be on the ball on getting involved in the Halo community in general on Twitter. That's something that Ascend has done and Bacon Media, and it's worked really well for them. They're well known in the community. People watch their stuff. And while I don't perceive people becoming as big as Mr.Ma.com, the directors were when everything was being plugged back then. Even John Graham is independent now and having a hard time. No one's going to be Red vs. Blue here in terms of recognizability. So just getting involved in these social circles on these different platforms will help. There's probably even more people through Halo, Reddit, Amiibo, or Amino, and other platforms. So just constantly be around, produce as quickly as you can, and don't take too long, but don't ever put, quantity over quality, because some people do that and it doesn't work out well for them. Take feedback. Always take feedback, especially the critical ones. People usually will give you the blunt version of what they think of your Machinima or what's wrong with it or what can be better, because they care to tell you, because hopefully they see that you can fix it and do better. Otherwise, everyone's just going to be saying good job and you won't know what to do better. But that's what we primarily focus on here. Resources and feedback.
That was a very in-depth and well-thought-out answer. Thank you. Does anyone else want to chime in on that?
I'll take silence. Oh, crap. Oh, sorry. I zoned out for there a second. Yeah. The Hub, I think, is one of the better Machinima Discords. Gives you a lot of tools, a lot of feedback. A lot more people know what they're doing here. A lot of people know what people don't. There's a lot of knowledge that's only given to one person. Like, Zed has a lot of knowledge on cinematography, as well as A-Star and Pep. They have a lot of knowledge on that. Meanwhile, someone like me or Alex or Matt or Outlet know a lot more of the visual aspects. While someone like Jerry Freeman knows a lot about SFM and 3D animation and gives a lot of neat advice on that. But as far as advice, I would think, like, join as many Machinima-centered Discords as you can, because, well, I think the Hub is a great place. It's a great place to start out, one of the better places. You can get a lot of help here. It's not wise to rely on one resource at a time. It's best to utilize everything. And there's a lot of Discords out there, a lot of people out there who may not be aware of that other Discord servers are available, but they're willing to help and they're out there. So it's best to utilize, go socialize, connect with other people, make connections, because some people are really willing to help you. And I've learned that over the years. If you just take the time to get to know people, get into different social circles, there's a lot of people who are willing to help you, especially for body acting. And I know a lot of people need that today.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Outlet, do you have anything?
Watch good Machinimas.
I mean, everyone pretty touched on anything I would say, so I think all my bases are covered.
Well, okay. I don't know about there being any other Machinima-focused servers. Yeah, definitely just getting involved in the community. Just just step number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. In your content out there amongst your peers, I mean, even for me with the podcasting stuff, just being able to like get it out there amongst other people that do similar stuff to you is a great sounding board. So, well, it has been a wonderful podcast, and it was a good trip down memory lane and getting you guys back on to do kind of one last hurrah for all the Outpost panelists that we had for Machinima. We got most everyone on here. There's a couple people that were on some of the panels that we didn't have a chance to get back in. We got a couple new people that weren't on the panels as well, so that was nice. Before we wrap up, I want to give you guys a chance to plug your YouTube channels or wherever you post your videos, and then Twitter accounts or social media. So we'll go ahead and start with A-Star.
I'll have it start.
I corrected myself. I did correct myself.
That's fine. Thank you for the floor. I mean, I'm pretty easy to find, and I don't really have a lot to plug personally because I work independently on a lot of stuff, and I'm working with YouTubers now, so I'm not really making my own content. But if you do feel like checking out my stuff or what I do, you can find me anywhere, usually at official A-Star, and then on YouTube, I've reserved the URL /A-Star. But primarily, the best way to get in touch with me or talk is to be in a server that I'm in, and being in the hub is a great one. This is going to be not really a plug, but like just another thing. I run a big YouTuber drama community now called Pescator News Network, and there's a great way to get involved with that. If for any reason you're interested in YouTube stuff and what's going on there, that one you can easily find discord.io/Pescator. You can find that on my Twitter as well, but it just, you know, being involved with communities is a great way to get in touch with people, and not only just me, everyone else in here probably wouldn't be here if they weren't for just getting involved. So do that.
Indeed. Thank you. Let's go down to Mango. Where can people find you?
Well, my YouTube channel, Angel on My Shoulder Productions, is the predominant way. Obviously, I am on the hub as a mango flavored angst. So, yeah, that should be all.
Anything mango related. Grumpy.
Yes, my main name. I go everywhere that you can find me that I want you to find is just Grumpy Elite. Just those two words put together. On my YouTube, my Twitter, Reddit, Facebook, if you can find me there, if anyone still uses Facebook, Discord, obviously, Xbox, just everything, just Grumpy Elite. If you just want to find me, just search that name up. I'll be in there. I make a lot of Machinima. I'm dipping into a little bit of gaming, a little bit of extra Halo content, dipping my shoes in, getting in touch with people. If you want to hang out, hit me up. Maybe you'll learn something about Machinima.
Just maybe. And Outlet Chief.
No guarantees.
So, Twitter, same as you see on screen, it's Outlet Chief Century9. Infrequent YouTube uploads are at Match Productions on YouTube as well.
Okay, very nice. Don't mind.
There are two things I'm wondering that are Halo related, if I can plug them.
Sure, certainly.
So I mentioned this briefly at the Anaheim panel, and I want to make sure that I people involved in the social circle. We talked about the GMAs, the Golden Monitor Awards. It's an award show.
I was going to ask you about that after the show, actually.
Yeah, it's an award show for Machinima. It's taken a lot longer than normal, and it's just honestly because of a lot of inconveniences that have come up and some changes that we had to make towards the judging. And for anybody who's been wondering and you recognize what this is, we're well aware of the delays, and we apologize. We're working to do diligently to get it done before the end of the year, so that way we have a better idea and scope for how this might work in the future. But on a side note, if you're into a lot of Halo content and want to support content creators, I recently did a collaborative music video with Ezra Romanov, that is FOTUS. He's the head of the FOTUS, just the Unicorns clan or gaming esports community, and we produced a little animated parody of Macklemore's Thrift Shop called Snapshot. You should go and check it out. It's we worked really hard on it, and it's pretty fun.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, thanks for plugging that. Once the results for GMAs are out, I'd like to have you on the show again to actually talk about the GMAs, because I've been peeking in there and every now and then to kind of get an update. I'm like, okay, still haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah, just delays. We're working on it. Sorry.
Yeah.
You're only human after all. Don't put the blame on you.
Very nice. Well, thank you all for joining, and especially for A-Star and Mango. Both of you were on the panels on the panel at Anaheim. Thank you for being on it and being willing to be a part of it. And for everyone else that is listening, thank you for tuning into this special episode. This might be the only post-Outpost panel related one. The Forge one, we haven't been able to really get a lot of people coordinated to do a big one there. And then the Project one, there's just a lot of projects. It's probably not easy to do one for all the projects there. So we got a little special podcast here with all the machine makers, and we'll obviously have some of them on back again, especially where some of the bigger projects come into play. But I just want to give you guys one more shout out. You guys make some really cool stuff in the time that is very dark in the Halo Machinima creation, and the fact that you guys keep on doing what you're doing and making the wonderful content that you guys and girls continue to make and entertain us with is just very inspiring. And I hope people here on that are listening to the podcast have a chance to go and check out some of your content.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Certainly. We'll catch you guys on the next one.